not entirely new to this building. I was first here back in the 80s when a friend of mine came and attended church here. And down through the years, I've been able to come here and be a part of one of the city mission camps that you so graciously put on. So it's good to be able to come here. It's good to be with another AGC congregation. I bring you greetings from our church over in Milliken. And I'm really glad just to be able to be here. It's a week where we've seen so many things going on in the world with the election in the States and the question marks that have been posed because of that. We just need to pause at a moment like this and remember who God is and how He wants to work in our lives. And so I thought I'd begin as I'm here with you by sharing a little bit about something that's been going on in my life, how God's been working in my life, and then we can get to know one another better. A few weeks back, I was in a small group Bible study, a group that I meet with, some of the young career guys from over at Milliken. And we were studying the first part of the Gospel of Mark, and we were working through that passage. And I came down to verse 15, and it says that Jesus was speaking, and he said, "The kingdom of God is near." And I wasn't quite sure why, but that phrase stood out to me. That phrase sort of seemed to be one that I should pay attention to. And I don't know about you, but I really find that the Bible is an amazing book that way. Because we can look at it and we read the words and the paragraphs and the phrases. But it's much more than just words on a page, isn't it? It's much more than just a compilation of good stories. It's a living book because the Holy Spirit comes along and it takes the words on those pages and it causes them to jump out at us and to be sharp and active in our lives. And so on that evening, I was looking at this passage, and we were working our way through it, and that phrase, "the kingdom of God is near," was standing out to me. It was getting my attention. And what was interesting was that it was also getting the attention of others in the room. See, we were doing an open Bible study together. We were going through phrase by phrase. We were looking up words in the Greek together and trying to dig into the text as best we could. And it was interesting to look around the room and to see that the words on the page were not simply ideas that these guys were thinking about, but the Spirit of God was also working in their lives and touching them and helping them. And so at the end of the evening, we came to application time, and there were guys that were making really serious practical applications. They had come to grips with this word that the kingdom was near, and they wanted to take it seriously, and they wanted their lives to be different because of it. And that was a very special experience for me. I assume that you're like me, that when something special like that happens, you want to think about it a little bit more. You want to really dig into it and pause and consider what God is really saying. And so over these last few weeks, I've taken some time to think about that text and to look at how it's put together and look at how it's phrased in that section. And one of the things that stands out is that just before Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, it tells us that what we're about to learn about what he's saying is good news. Good news. This is something special. It's not just an important statement that we should sort of put up on the wall and listen to, but it's something special and exciting. It's good news. And I've been working through that and thinking about how it's such a wonderful experience for us as Christians. I've been meditating on it and praying on it and thinking, isn't it amazing that as Christians, we have a real-time connection with the God of the universe? We have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is bringing us into his kingdom. We look forward to a future day when it'll be completed. But even now, he is our king, and we get to follow him, and he's active in our lives. And that's good news. That's exciting. We get to participate with him in what he's doing around the world. We get to understand that he loves us and that he leads us and that he guides us. We see his power at work in our circumstances. And so I've really been blessed by learning that the kingdom of God, this kingdom of Jesus, is good news. And so what I'd like to do this morning is dig into that more with you. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and I'll begin in verse 14. This comes just after Jesus' temptation. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So we see Jesus coming from his temptation, following on his baptism, and he's beginning to start his public ministry. And the best way to describe what Jesus was doing, Mark says, is that he was proclaiming good news. He was proclaiming good news, and he was saying, "The kingdom of God is near." So we want to stop and think about what this is about, and we want to go back and look in the broader Bible and understand what's really going on here. So I want to do two things. One, I want to look at the idea of the kingdom of God, and then I want to consider how that becomes good news for us. And so we want to begin by going back into the Old Testament to look at the idea of the kingdom of God. I think you go into the Old Testament and you read how God created. You read how God led Abraham. You read how God led the people out of Egypt and took them to the promised land. You read all of the ways he blessed them and all the ways he worked. And you can easily see that God in the Old Testament is portrayed as a king. But it's helpful, I think, to see as well that he's specifically called a king. And in the Psalms, even in one of the Psalms, I didn't catch the reference, but even one of the Psalms in our worship this morning, it says, "God is king. Let's rejoice. Let's praise him." Even especially in the Psalms, we begin to see how we're supposed to interact with this idea and understand that God is king and we're supposed to reverence him. I like looking at Psalm 47 as one example. There's a bunch, as I'll mention later. But if you go to Psalm 47, I won't read the whole thing, but it begins, "Clap your hands, all you nations." It's a song about getting excited about God. Then you come down to verse 6, and it says, "Sing praises to God." Sing praises. Sing praises to the king. Sing praises. "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne." And you look at that and you say, wow, this idea of God being king is very real and very, very special, isn't it? It's something we're supposed to get excited about. Four times we're told, sing praises. So we're not just supposed to say, yeah, that's a cool idea. No, we're supposed to say, yes. Jesus is king. God is king. I will adore him. Sing his praise. And so we look at that and we get excited just by thinking of that singing, but you got to focus in on the reason why in verse 7. "For God is the king of all the earth." Sing to him a psalm of praise. God is king. It's very clear here. It goes on and it says, "God reigns over the nations. He has control." Thanks, Steve, for reminding us this morning. You know, we look at the election in the States, and there's various sides to it, and different people are experiencing turmoil because of it. And you pause and you think, do we need to be afraid? Do we need to be worried if we think it was the wrong move? And the question is, and the point is, we don't, because God is king. He's in control. He knows what's going on. Amen? So we see this, it's very clear that God is king, and the psalm helps us to get into the spirit of worshiping him. We can look at other references in the psalms where it talks how God reigns. It talks about God as king. I don't have time to go into all those references, but they're very clear there. And so we want to look at that, and we want to rejoice in that. And then we want to stop and think, okay, God is king in the Old Testament, and now Jesus is coming, and Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is near. What does that mean? Why? What's the difference? There seems to be a progression here. What is that progression all about? We seem to be going from one step to the next. What is that? Why? Well, I think there's a lot of theology here and we could go on at length. But briefly, I think it's helpful to start in Psalm 47 and look at what it says. It says, God is king over all the earth. God reigns over the nations. And that gives us a picture of God who is king and who is king out there, who is in control and is to be obeyed and is to be worshipped and does help his people, but he's sort of a big king, sort of on the throne someplace else, not maybe feeling like he's really here. And you look at the way God worked in the Old Testament, and you see that some people had a close relationship with him. Abraham had a close relationship with him. Moses had a close relationship with him. David had a close relationship with him. The prophets heard him speak and shared his words. So he was very much engaged with the people, but it wasn't personal for the average Jewish person on the street. It wasn't a close personal relationship like we can have as Christians. And so what Jesus is saying when the kingdom of God is near becomes very important for us. Because we've seen that God was king in the Old Testament and had his kingdom in the Old Testament, but now the kingdom is coming near. It's close to us. It's integrated into our daily experience in a whole new way. One way to unpack that is to look at Matthew. Matthew is wanting to demonstrate the full progression of the gospel idea as he is writing his gospel. And so he goes back and God helps him to see in the story the elements from the Old Testament that God is unpacking and bringing into the story of Jesus' life. And what he does is he tells us the story of the prophecy that is going to be fulfilled in Jesus. And so it says, in the early part of Matthew, the virgin will be with child. It's quoting from Isaiah chapter 7:14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So you see, there in that beginning story, as Jesus is yet to be born, God wants to make it clear that Jesus is going to be different because he's going to be with us. He's going to be the incarnation. He's going to be God turned into real flesh so that he could be with us. So we see that. And if you pause and think about that, you realize that then this means that God is no longer just going to be the king over all the earth, the king who reigns over all things. This means that Jesus is going to be with us and near us, that he's going to be involved in our lives. We get the opportunity as Christians to have a relationship with God in a personal way, and the Jews in the Old Testament didn't have that. That's a wonderful, precious gift that Christ gives to us, even as he came to buy our salvation. I think it's really good for us to hold on to that and think about it. Have you ever heard somebody that doesn't really know God very well talk about God? And one of the phrases I've heard from time to time is that they say, the man upstairs. You know, I'm a minister, and if they hear I'm a reverend, all of a sudden they act a little bit unnatural and try and act like they know this God guy, you know, the man upstairs. So they want to have a relationship. They think he's real, and they want to demonstrate to me they know something about him. But as they try to do that, they make it clear that they don't really get it. Yeah, he's the man upstairs, but they don't understand that Jesus came so we can have a relationship. So he's not just the man upstairs, he's our Father. And that Jesus is our brother and our friend. And that we have this relationship where we can walk with him and talk with him and see how he can work in our daily lives. So it's really important what we're talking about here. So we have the opportunity, because God in Christ came close to us and lived among us and died for us and sent his Holy Spirit so that we now have God living in us. We have this wonderful experience of knowing that the kingdom is near. We can see the fruits of it beginning to happen, and we look forward to the day when it will be brought to completion. We rejoice. Yes, the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus came proclaiming that, and they said it was good news. And I think it's helpful to pause and think about that. Good news. I mean, you can think about someone who day to day had an understanding that God was there and never had a personal relationship with them. You can think about a person like that, and you can see that, yes, it would be good news for them to know they can get to know God personally. But there's more to it than just the personal relationship. There's more to it than just proximity. This is the announcement of a whole new era in our life with God. It's a whole new world of possibility because Jesus has come near. And that's good news. And the fact that it's pronounced to us as good news is really helpful for us. We need to stop and think about it. Because we know that God blessed people in the Old Testament. And we know that the people were trying to be close to God in the Old Testament. But we know they very often fell short. And so Jesus coming close, Jesus inhabiting us by his Holy Spirit as Christians, that is good news for a very profound reason. And it's the reason that makes us different from religions around the world. Christians are different because Jesus has come close, because Jesus can live in us. And this is the good news we really want to understand. I was reading in Tim Keller on his book on Mark, and he said this, and I think it's very helpful. Right there, he says, you can see the difference between Christianity and all other religions, including no religion. The essence of other religions is advice. Christianity is essentially news. Other religions say, this is what you have to do in order to connect to God forever. They give you a do list, in other words. This is how you have to live in order to earn your way to God. And here's the important part. But the gospel says, the good news about Jesus says, this is what has been done in history. This is how Jesus lived and died to earn the way to God for you. Christianity is completely different. It's joyful news.
So do you see what he's saying there? What do religions tell you to do? Religions give you advice, and they say, do this, don't do that. They say, do this and do it this way. They say, go to this temple, make this offering. And if you're good enough at all that, maybe something good will happen for you. But you see, Jesus comes, and his first move is not to give us a do list. His first move is to say, look, I see you need help, and I'm coming to be close to you. Look, I care about your lives, and I want to be involved in your life, and I've come to buy your salvation so that you can be set free, and then I will send my Holy Spirit, and he will work in you, and you can have life in my name. That's what Jesus does. And that's good news. It's no longer the giving of a do list. It's the proclamation of something wonderful that God has done for us. So it's good to think about this. How we have good news that God graciously offers us salvation. And so we want to stop and think, wow, good news. How can that change my life? Some of you here today may still be considering what Jesus' words are all about. Maybe you haven't yet entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you are in that position, I'd encourage you to really stop and think about how special this good news is. Because God comes to you in your circumstances and says, I'm here to help you. I've bought your salvation by dying for you. I've risen from the dead so you can be guaranteed of eternal victory. And I'm wanting to give my Holy Spirit so that you can live with me. That's a wonderful thing. So if you haven't yet accepted Christ, I'd encourage you to speak to somebody today because you don't want to miss out on this good news. And if you're someone that's already walking with Christ, what I want to do is to help you to see that this is so special and you can open up your life freely more and more to God and he will lead you and guide you in beautiful ways. One thing to be careful about, though, and that is that it is exciting, and yet at the same time as it is exciting, we need to remember that we shouldn't just be excited. We need to remember that this is deep and special, and so we need to remember that it's profound. What I'm suggesting here is that the gospel is not like candy floss. How many people have ever had candy floss at a fair or a carnival? Come on, you can admit it. I know it's a guilty pleasure. You go to the fair, you go to the carnival, and you see these vendors, and they're always right there close to the front, and they've got these huge piles of sweetness, pink or blue usually. And kids arrive, and they see that pile of candy, and their eyes go bling, and they want it. Right? And the parents are shaking their heads, you know, because they're saying, that I'm about to pay $5 or $10 or whatever for like 2 tablespoons of spun sugar, right? Parents know that it's mostly air and just sugar, so there's really no value in it. But, ooh, it's so special. We got to have it. Well, you see, the gospel isn't like that. I won't use a food analogy because I don't know exactly what your favorite food is, but it's the gospel is substantial. See, when Jesus says this is good news, he's thinking about the realities of our lives. He's thinking about when we go to school, and he's thinking about when we go to work, and he's thinking about the people we engage with and the challenges that we have. And he's saying, look, I'm coming close to you so that you can be successful in those areas of your life, so that you can see my help, so you can see my blessing. And that's the beauty of it. One way to look at that is to go over to Luke chapter 4. One of the ways Jesus announces himself, this is one description in Mark. Mark is sort of the laser version. Luke 4, that Jesus quotes a verse from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And we'll just go over and look at that. He goes into a synagogue and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he was quoting from the Old Testament. And he demonstrates here that this is God's perfect plan, a plan that God had been arranging for hundreds of years so that everything would be just right. And Jesus is announcing these words because he is the one to bring fulfillment to them, that God wants to come close and help those who are poor, that help those who are needy. And that doesn't mean just monetarily. That means all of us in our soul, those areas where we know we're angry, those areas where we don't have peace, those areas where we have worry, God wants to come into that kind of poverty and help us to deal with that. He wants us to have freedom. He wants us to know that the devil can't hold on to us anymore because Jesus has come to set us free and to give us eternal life. And then after he'd read that, he rolled up the scroll and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I am the one." So you see, we're not talking cotton candy. We're talking the great fulfillment of God's century-long plan to bring a Savior to the world. One thing I just want to mention quickly is that sometimes when we talk about God being king, we have issues with that kind of authority. Sometimes we can think of earthly authority. We can think of prime ministers or presidents or premiers or whoever that we haven't really been that fond of or whose actions we feel haven't been in our best interest. And so we think of authority and we begin to wonder, I'm not sure I want a king. But God helps us to see that when we are talking about Jesus, it isn't that kind of a king. It isn't a king who's going to be working in self-interest. It's a king who's going to be working in our best interest. It isn't a king who's going to be making mistakes. It's a God who never makes mistakes. And it's also one who comes alongside us and helps us, not so much lectures us from the front of the class. Tim Keller helps to understand the difference this way. And he says, "As a child blossoms under the authority of a wise and good parent, as a team flourishes under the direction of a skillful, brilliant coach, so when we come under the healing of the royal hands, under the kingship of Jesus, everything in your life will begin to heal. And when he comes back, everything sad will come untrue. His return will usher in the end of fear, the end of suffering, the end of death." And so I like that analogy, that God comes along and we have that opportunity in his greatness. He is willing to humble himself so that he can be like a good coach to us. He can be like a good parent to us. He can have that kind of helpful relationship to us rather than sort of a dictator that we might imagine. And so when we think about God coming and God being close and God caring, how are we going to respond? How are we going to trust God that our lives can be different and draw closer to him? Well, I think at this point it's helpful to think of the ways in which God can change our lives. And one way to think of that is to consider that there are things that God can do in our lives that maybe 6 months from now or maybe a year from now that we haven't yet begun to think about. We have no idea of some of the blessings that he can give us. And that was something I was reminded of back in October. We had some friends from my congregation over at Millikan who were sharing some stories about what God had been doing in their life. They'd been going on some mission activity, and they were sharing with our church about it. And these were things that a year ago they hadn't been thinking about, but God had brought had caused to come to pass in their lives. And one girl is an accountant downtown, and good job, and very much a part of that world, and yet in her life, God worked in such a way so that she would go over to Israel and be a part of a children's ministry over in Israel during the summer. And it was just really fun to hear her story talking about how God had taken her on that journey and how God had done new things in her life and given her new opportunities in her life. And it was great. We were all saying, yes, thank you, Lord, that you were so good to her. And another group were people that had gone out and they started looking around the other towns around the eastern part of the GTA, a little bit further out. And they were thinking about those towns, and they were realizing there were some people out there that they could go and witness to. And they've gone out to those areas. These are Chinese people, so they were thinking about the Chinese restaurants and Chinese entrepreneurs that are out in that region. They went out there, and they were going and sharing the gospel with them, and God was giving them connections and giving them relationships and helping them to share the gospel. And they were just excited that God was doing this new thing in their lives. So you see, God can help us to come along and participate in his work, and he can do new things that we don't expect yet. That's a part of the good news working in us. But I think it's important to remember that it's not just church work. We come together and we worship together and we talk about the potlucks that are coming up and we do shoeboxes together and we do all those things. And that's great. That's a significant part of our life as Christians. But there's those 40, 50 hours we spend at work. There's all those hours that our parents force us to go to school. You know, all of that time too, God cares about that. God wants to work in those circumstances. And so we need to remember that those are hours that Jesus cares about, and he wants to come along and help you as you are dealing with friends that maybe aren't always friendly, or relationships that are difficult, or teachers that are crabby, or bosses that are grumpy. You know, all those things Jesus comes along and wants to help you with. And he gets involved in those circumstances. And there's lots of different ways I could go to find an illustration of this. But I picked an unusual area that we don't always associate with church, and that's baseball. How many of you are baseball fans? Okay, so who won the World Series? The Chicago Cubs, finally, after all those years. Well, you know, there's an interesting story there, because the guy who became the MVP for the Chicago Cubs is Ben Zorbrist. And Ben Zorbrist is a Christian. And so here in the midst of that gigantic World Series thing, there's this little laser light that shines down on one Christian that God cared about, one Christian in whose life God was working. And on the night that they won the series, Zorbrist tweeted, "I don't want to go to sleep yet." You can imagine why. He was excited. "I'm still shocked." And then he says, "Thank you, Lord, for such a special blessing." You see, he understood that he was a part of a baseball team and that his baseball team had just done something really cool, but especially he was a part of God's kingdom. And what he had just received was a partially due to his own effort, but his own effort that had been blessed by a loving God. And so it's great to see that our faith and our activities connect. And if you look at Zorbrist's life and go back, he gave an interview a while back to a Christian magazine. And among other things, this is what he said: "I want people to know that grace is for everyone. We all need grace. We all need Christ." He said that when he was a not very special player. He was a utility player with one of the lesser teams back then. And he was trusting God. And as he trusted God, God helped him to be his very best. God helped him to be in the right place at the right time. And now he's won the World Series. See, that's what God can do as we trust him, as we believe this good news, as we call out to God to help us. So, with those pictures in mind, what are some individual steps that some of us can take? With those ideas in mind, that God can do new and fresh things and send us on missionary journeys that we don't yet expect, or that God can come along and help us to be really successful in our job or our profession. With those ideas in mind, what are some practical things we can do? And I think one of the things that stands out most is to understand how important our devotional life is. I talked earlier about how when we come as Christians and open the Bible, we're not just reading a book, but we're reading God's words, and the Holy Spirit of God wants to take those words and wants to make them come alive for us. And so whether you're reading it in English or and whether you're reading it in King James or NIV, or whether you're reading it in simplified characters, you know, however you're reading it, the Spirit wants to take that and apply it to your life. The Spirit wants to take that and encourage you. And that's why it's so important that every day we carve out some time and we spend time in the Word and we respond to God in prayer, because he's talking to us in the Word, and then we talk back to him in prayer, and then he lays some principles on our hearts, or he lays a direction on our hearts, and we move in that direction trusting him, and then he blesses us. So you see, that's the key. If you want to experience the good news that the kingdom of God has come near, that's the place to start. And then you can build on that. You can grow that experience. And maybe there's a verse that stands out to you during your quiet time in the morning, and when you get to work later in the day and you're about to deal with an awkward situation, you can recall that verse. You can remember that God is with you, and that will encourage you and give you strength, and it'll help you to be prayerful. And so more and more you can see this living God who's come near, active in your circumstances. And then we begin to pray about our broader lives and the things that are going on. And in all of that, God wants to remind us, yes, I'm with you. Yes, I will lead you. You can trust me. So I'm glad to be able to share that with you this morning. We've been talking about being close to Jesus, how the kingdom of God has come near. And I'm glad this is Communion Sunday, because in a minute we're going to remember how Jesus wanted all of his people to remember just what he's done for us by coming close, by giving his body for us. By giving his body for us as a reminder that one day we're going to have a heavenly body just like him. So it's a wonderful time just to pause and reflect. Yes, the kingdom has come near. Yes, it's good news. Lord, help me to experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.